So you've probably heard Apple is unrolling a new iPad. The world's most valuable company has dominated the tablet world since first launching the iPad 2 years ago. There are dozens of imitators, but only Amazon's tablet, the Kindle Fire, has come close, selling one for every three iPads. The Kindle Fire is just one way Amazon is trying to redefine itself from a company that sells other people's stuff to a company that makes things that people need, things like tablets and books. Let's spend a few minutes on that today with Brad Stone of Bloomberg Businessweek. His recent story looks at Amazon Publishing, which is making traditional publishers nervous by hiring industry insiders and signing up authors like self-help guru Timothy Ferris, actor and budding novelist James Franco, and director Penny Marshall. Brad Stone joins us from KQED in San Francisco. Welcome.
Hi, Robin. Thank you.
Well, your title says it all. It's called Amazon's Hitman. It focuses on Larry Kirschbaum, who was head of Time Warner Book Group. In other words, he was with the publishers. Now he's head of Amazon Publishing. How scared of Amazon, especially with a publisher who's crossed over, are the big six publishers?
Oh, I think they're terrified. You know, Amazon is their biggest customer. According to what publisher we're talking about, they could be anywhere from, 20 to 30% of all book sales, ebooks and hardcover books, to 60 to 70%. They've been at Amazon's mercy for quite some time. Amazon's known for coming to the bargaining table and demanding steeper discount wholesale prices, more rapid delivery of ebooks. And now, really, starting last year when they hired Larry Kirschbaum in May of 2011, Amazon's going into competition. They are looking to buy books from the biggest name authors.
And so, of course, some brick and mortar bookstore owners could be saying right now to these publishing houses, we could have told you this. You made deals with Amazon. In fact, early on, this was a very symbiotic relationship. You write that Amazon officials who developed the Kindle e-reader went through the New York publishing offices and book houses cooperated with them when they asked to have their catalogs digitized.
Right. And let's be clear, Amazon has done incredible things for the book business. They've raised sales. They probably have contributed at least to stemming the erosion of book sales to other forms of media and entertainment. They really created the ebook market. Publishers had been trying to sell digital books for a decade with no success, and Amazon, with its Kindle in 2007, created the market, got Barnes & Noble to jump in it with both feet, got Google interested in it. And so they've done a lot of good, but again, as you point out, it's been a double-edged sword. Amazon's kind of relentless in its negotiation, and it has demanded low ebook prices. There's been an ongoing battle with publishers. What should that ebook price be? Should it be $15 or $16 and thus preserve the hardcover book business? Or, do readers expect that a digital copy, because it doesn't have all the infrastructure, should be $9 or less? That's an ongoing battle.
Well, and you say it all kind of started in 2007, where there'd been sort of collaboration between the publishing industry and Amazon. You even say that people in publishing houses actually had the Kindle early on and promised to keep the prototypes a secret, And then it was announced how much Amazon was going to sell books for on the Kindle, and there's that $9.99, and book publishers were shocked.
That's right. They were surprised by that $9.99 price for New York Times bestsellers. And then Jeff Bezos, Amazon's founder and CEO, went around, the media and talk shows trumpeting that price. And there was this direct parallel to what Apple had done to the music business with setting a 99-cent price for digital songs. And publishers started to get worried. They saw what the 99-cent digital song price had done to the music business. It had really destroyed the CD. And they started to wonder, will this put even more pressure on our traditional retail chain, on the big guys like Barnes & Noble and Borders, and on all the independent booksellers? And we saw this tension play out in 2009, 2010. Publishers went to what is called the so-called agency model. They started insisting on a certain price for their digital books, and they did so in conjunction actually with Apple, which was unveiling its own internet bookstore along with the iPad. That has actually resulted in some somewhat complex litigation. But right now, Amazon sort of lost control of ebook prices. And that is one of the reasons why, starting last year, they started creating their own publishing house.
Well, so Amazon's going into the publishing business. Don't you still need, is Amazon really going to be able to recreate what a publishing house does, nurturing authors, helping them edit books?
I think you're exactly right. In the short term, what we're seeing is that there's not a one-size-fits-all model for the millions of aspirational book writers. Maybe going direct with Amazon is a great solution. You know, you can't interest a publisher in your mystery novel, and Amazon actually for the past few years has given you tools to just publish your book to the Kindle. You know, same with a songwriter. You know, there are all sorts of ways to just put your song online or put your video to YouTube. And then you have the very, you know, the big authors, the brand name authors. I think Amazon is making a long-term bet that for a Stephen King or a James Patterson, that eventually the role that the publisher plays in finding and nurturing talent and making sure bookstores stock these books prominently, that those kinds of authors don't need the traditional role of the publisher. But I think you're right that for the mid-list author, sure, you need the stewardship, the hand-holding of an editor or a publisher. You know, I'm willing to bet, though, that Jeff Bezos, you know, thinking long term as he always does, believes that Amazon can play that role as well. And that's why he's hiring very traditional New York City book editors and publishers like Larry Kirschbaum.
Well, and so those people might, you know, be the ones that nurture the authors. They may start to chip away at the role of a publishing house. But on the other hand, you know, these authors that you mentioned that might just be able to put their product online, you talked to a Joe Conrath. Now, he is self-publishing on Amazon. He'd had all these rejections from publishers. Is it possible? He tells you he's now making $4,000 a day.
It's incredible. You know, one thing to consider is that the royalty structure that Amazon is offering some of these self-published authors is just dramatically different. You know, a traditional author is going to get, you know, 10, 15, 20% of a book royalty after they earn out an advance. And this fellow, Joe Conrath, he did have three books published by a traditional publisher, many more rejected. He subsequently has put all his material, I think he's probably over a dozen books right now, on the Amazon Kindle platform. They sell quite well, and he sees, you know, 70% of the revenues. So he's doing great. But of course, we should also point out that you do hear about the successes, and you probably don't hear as much about the legions of aspirational authors whose material is not being discovered on Amazon.
Brad Stone of Bloomberg Businessweek is our guest. And Brad, we were talking about Joe Conrath, who's making a killing self-publishing on Amazon's Kindle. He told you that traditional publishers are selling drinks on the Titanic. In other words, they're not seeing this iceberg that is Amazon publishing.
That's right. And I think that we should also probably draw a distinction here between people like Joe Conrath or Timothy Ferris, who you mentioned before, or Seth Godin, another author who's published with Amazon. They're incredible self-marketers. You know, they blog, they tweet. They're very good at getting themselves noticed. And it's just certainly not going to be the case for everyone. So I think right now, you know, what we're seeing is that Amazon's publishing apparatus is appealing to a certain kind of author. We mentioned Penny Marshall and James Franco, the actor. But it's also true that Larry Kirschbaum at Amazon hasn't yet scored, I'll use this word carefully, legitimate authors. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, authors are wary. You know, they don't play that self-promotional game all that well. And we should also point out that big traditional bookstore chains like Barnes & Noble and Books A Million have declined to stock these Amazon publishing books.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Where does Amazon sell these books, except, of course, at Amazon, which they've got that sewn up. But big box stores like Walmart see Amazon as a rival. So it's not likely that they're going to let Amazon stock these Amazon published books at Walmart. Barnes & Noble also competes with Amazon. And so we're hearing buzz that Amazon might build its own stores the way Apple did.
Right. Well, let's unpack that a little bit. Okay. So the Barnes & Noble and the other bookstore chains have declined, at least for now, to stock those Amazon books. It does remain to be seen when there is a completely amazing author that Amazon signs. If you're a Barnes & Noble, are you really not going to offer that to your customer? Amazon has struck a deal with Houghton Mifflin, the book publisher, to create paper copies of some of these books. And so we're seeing a chess game play out, and I don't think we're at the end. You know, Walmart and Target and Costco, they're huge booksellers. They have not yet said whether they will stock Amazon books. On the issue of Amazon doing its own store, there have been rumors. People have speculated about that for a long time. If they do it, it would be a test. It would happen in Seattle, where Amazon currently does not have to collect any sales taxes in the state of Washington. And it's in Amazon's DNA to take that kind of thing very slowly. They've been trying out a grocery service in Washington for years, and they've never rolled it out. I mean, we'll see if Amazon does do stores. If they do, my guess it would be more about displaying their hardware like the Kindle, their tablet, the Kindle Fire, maybe any phones they start to produce, and less about displaying these books.
Let me ask you about the phones, because I'm sure ears perked up there. And this is part of what the New York Times has been writing about, this idea that companies are trying to erase any boundaries. You know, Amazon, if you thought about it a few years ago, you thought that Amazon didn't have products. It sold other people's products. Now Amazon's trying to create a product, have a, you know, publishing arm that creates books. And the New York Times says these companies want entire ecosystems. What is the advantage to that ecosystem?
It's really remarkable. You know, all these companies, Amazon, Google, Facebook, they're watching the unbelievable and relentless growth of Apple. It's the biggest company by valuation. Its stock price seems almost unstoppable. It, you know, even with Steve Jobs' passing, it is on a tremendous multi-year roll. And products like the iPhone and the iPad are closed. Apple's not only selling the hardware, but they're trying to sell all the media content. And if you're Amazon and half of your business right now is selling movies, music, and books, you just have to defend it. And people are buying and conducting more online business on their mobile devices, on their phones, on their tablets. And, you know, you're Jeff Bezos sitting in Seattle or Mark Zuckerberg in Menlo Park, and you're seeing potentially Apple kind of circumvent you. You know, they're owning the next generation of devices. And so all these companies, I think, are just scampering to keep up. And of course, I don't think Amazon really necessarily wants to be in the phone business. Neither does Facebook. And there are rumors that Facebook will be developing a phone. You know, Google, of course, has no expertise, and yet they just bought Motorola. It's their biggest acquisition ever. They're all trying to keep up.
Well, and so what do you see happening? Gaze in your crystal ball. Is there a way that publishing might end run what Amazon is trying to do, or do you see, you know, publishing houses sort of just going the way of the what?
Of the dodo.
Of the dodo, or maybe this is just the way the world works now. You know, FM kind of replaced AM, you know, cassettes and CDs replaced vinyl. And just, in other words, is this just the way it's going to go?
I guess we'll see. There certainly is one element of thought that in the age of digital, there's much less room between the creator and the consumer. You know, thinkers like Clay Shirky believe that you don't need intermediaries anymore. And we've certainly seen it in the journalism, in the media business, you know, where newspapers are having real trouble because there's really no reason for a writer to just express their thoughts on a blog or on Twitter. And yet, we've seen some newspapers and magazines thrive and stick around. So this dynamic is being played out really in every form of media. And in the book business, what the publishers would say is that this is a tricky business. This is a people-intensive business. A lot of hand-holding, a lot of authors calling late at night, expressing anxiety about something. It's not even that great a business, right? I mean, it's a lot of books don't sell that well. Some do. It's an inarticulate or intangible science. Amazon, a company like Amazon, is a company that wants to express everything in data. They want to analyze everything. They're NDAs and engineers. And it's really not clear whether they can disintermediate the book publishing business in the same way that they've created all this kind of pressure on other parts of the economy.
Well, but as you write in response to that thinking, then again, Amazon can deliver a trampoline or a 20-pack of ramen in 24 hours. So it's been able to problem solve, and now it's taking on publishing. Brad Stone of Bloomberg Businessweek. To find his story, go to hereandnow.org. It's titled Amazon's Hitman, A Tale of Books, Betrayal, and the Alleged Secret Plot to Destroy Literature, which is how the publishing houses would put it. Brad, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.